I'm so excited to be here. I hope you are. And we're going to continue with our series, Made for Mission. This morning, I want to preach on this subject, anointed, armed, and dangerous. Who knows that you are anointed, armed, and dangerous? Come on, you can put your hands up. This is who we are in Christ Jesus. We are anointed, armed, and dangerous. We have been given all the tools that we already need to get the job done. But like any good workman, the job only gets done properly if we use all the tools. And when we don't use the tools, the job doesn't get done properly. So this morning, I want to encourage all of us and bring a deeper revelation of the anointing of God in your lives. Father, we come to you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we are so dependent on you this morning. I am so dependent on you. And Lord God, we just stand and we're amazed at your goodness towards us. And Father, as the word goes out this morning, Lord, let our hearts, our minds, our spirits be in tune to what it is that you want to say to us this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all the scripture that we have. And Lord God, speak to us. Encourage us, exhort us. Father, as we stand in your anointing this morning. You know, when we speak about the anointing, and I've seen it so many years, you go and you go like this. That was so anointed, or he or she or they were so anointed. And the deal is, as we go through, we're going to see from Scripture, they are no more anointed than you are. You mean they're not? No, they are anointed, because the more we spend time with God, the more we spend time in His Word, the more we spend time connected to the Holy Spirit, the more the anointing will flow through us. The tools that we have been given, when we keep taking them out and using them and sharpening them and looking at them and cleaning them up and using them, that is when the anointing flows. It is not for a certain special group of people. It's for all God's people. And we need to understand that when we're talking about the anointing today, I'm talking about mission is not an event, but the corporate nature of the church. I know I've repeated this every week, and I'm going to keep repeating it until we get it. Mission was not made for the church, but the church for mission. We started off in the series part one, made for mission. And that is God's calling upon our lives. It's in our DNA. It's who we are. Then last week we looked at all hands on deck. It was just simply a call for us all to be on mission. I can't wait for the day that we have testimonies. And they just keep going and keep going and keep going. And then whoever's preaching that Sunday is going to go, okay, I'll just keep my testimony for my sermon for next week. Because the testimonies that will come because we have been on mission. Because we have touched the lives of people in our neighborhood and those around us. You are anointed, armed, and dangerous. Speaking prophetically, remember we started this, Genesis 49, 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a spring. His branches run over the wall. There is so much depth. I could preach a whole series on this, just one little verse. And we are all that. This was the promise that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And this is for us. This is a word, a prophetic word from God for us as this church, the bridge, to be like Joseph. To be a branch going over the wall, standing in a spring, the spring of the living well of Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, for us to our branches to go beyond these four walls. If you think that this beautiful building is just to keep us cool in summer and all that other kind of stuff, we're just blessed to have this building. That's all. That's all. You might have heard me say this before. We say with hushed tones sometimes, we're going into the sanctuary. This is not a sanctuary. This is the sanctuary. Old Testament, they had a sanctuary. New Testament, this is the sanctuary of God. This is just a room. We call it the Coastlands room, an auditorium. That's it. This is not the same. The sanctuary is this. The holy work of God is this thing that's standing here. And of course, sitting next to you is the sanctuary of God. That's a scary thought. Holy Spirit living in me. Sometimes we as the church are so gift-oriented that we forget about Holy Spirit, Father, Son, the anointing, because we're just after the gift. Here's a hot tip. If we functioned in the anointing, our gift will come out of that, and we will function tirelessly, effortlessly in that gifting and that anointing, because we have sought the giver and not the gift. And sometimes we have to do that. So number one, we're just going to look at anointed for mission. Are we all good with this so far? I am, anyway. So let's move on. Ephesians 2:10 says this: For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Not set them aside, not like it's for somebody else. He has created us. If you go and read in Psalms 139, it tells you, when we come to Christ, he has written all the days in his book of things that we are meant to do, individually and corporately. And he has anointed you for that. How selfish would it be if God said, I want you to do all this spiritual stuff, but never gave you the anointing for it? But that's why, and we'll see later, why Holy Spirit came, to be the comforter, the parakletos, the one who would help us lift the weight. Whole new explanation, but I haven't got time to get into it. God has anointed you and me to be equipped for every good work, to resist evil, to know the truth, to preach the word, to be able to pray, to have fellowship with God. It's all parceled together in this thought and idea and this series, Made for Mission. And today we want to see us walk out of here, march out of here, almost militant, if I could be so bold as to say, anointed, armed, and dangerous. Not going, what's the devil going to do? Well, you know he's going to try and do stuff. We don't want to give him pulpit space. We don't want to give him space in our life. We just got to know. James says, 1:5, says, count it all joy when hardships and trials and persecution comes against you, depending what version you're reading. I've got them all into one version there called the Mark James version. My name actually is Mark James, by the way. Turn to someone next to you and say, you're anointed. You know that. Come on, say it with a little bit more gusto. You're anointed. You know that, don't you? Come on. Where's Janine? She's teaching kids this morning. Janine is one of those really strong self-talkers, eh? And she was here. I'd get her run around the room. And anyway, I can only do that because she's not here. Maybe sometimes, let me ask you this, because you don't have to put your hands up. Have you ever thought of yourself as a Christian who's anointed? Oh, no, that might be too arrogant. Or like, you know, like when James, I think it's James, or Peter says, I want everybody everywhere to raise holy hands. Oh, no, that's not me. No, that is you. See, we have to learn and step into our identity in Christ so that we know who we are. Not because we're arrogant, not because we're prideful, just because it's the truth. You know, sometimes we're afraid to talk about the truth. Well, the truth is, I am a king's kid. I am anointed. You might not see it, but it is true. I am holy, not because I say so, but because he is holy, because I live in this sanctuary in his imputed righteousness to me and to you. Maybe we thought that this anointing is just for other people, not for me. Maybe we've only ever considered that it was just in the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles. No, it's for all of us. You are anointed, armed, and dangerous. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the first transaction that takes place is the Holy Spirit comes in to live inside of you. And so we have to understand that he is the anointing that comes and lives inside of you. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've thought, no matter what your perception is, I would tell you to change your paradigm. Okay, you can walk around going, I'm anointed. Wow, I didn't know that. I'm anointed. Do you know that I'm anointed? Of course you're anointed. That's a good thing. Webster's Dictionary says, to anoint means to rub oil or ointment on, to put oil on in a ceremony of consecration. So when we are anointed, we are smeared with the presence, the love, and everything that there is to have of the Holy Spirit. He smeared us all over with it. And we have the oil of joy, the gladness of the Holy Spirit. The oil in Old Testament was used for a number of things. And we don't have time this morning, but it's a very biblical foundation for anointing. They anointed the tent meeting, the Ark of the Covenant, which was the place where God dwelled at the time, and all the articles used in the tent. The anointing was referred to consecrate priests to carry out their duties of service. What does 1 Peter 2:9 say about us? We are a chosen royal priesthood, not just anyone. No, we've been specially chosen. Isn't that good to understand that? The anointing was closely connected to the Holy Spirit, even in the Old Testament, if you go and read the story about Saul and David. And even when Saul would sit aside, he was still anointed, and they called him and said, no, well, come and prophesy. But you're not the king, but you can prophesy now. Prophets were anointed to proclaim God's word. People were anointed for healing. James says, if anyone is sick amongst you, call for the elders, and they will anoint you. It's not the oil, it's Jesus who is the healing power, the Holy Spirit. Here's a hot tip for you to understand the anointing. You can't turn it on and you can't turn it off. It's either there or it's not there. How many times have we seen, I know, especially in charismaniac circles, they white knuckle for the anointing to come. Let's pray. And then when they fall down and they cry and they laugh, oh, they're anointed. No. I'm not saying there's any wrong with falling down and crying and all that. That is just the work of the Holy Spirit upon their lives for a moment in time. I went to a conference just as recently after I recommitted my life to the Lord, and I went to this conference, and I was there for 5 days, and I wept for 5 days through worship. Eventually, my good, kind wife turned and says, what's the matter with you? I don't know. I just don't know. I was sharing with someone the other day. Where are my Nigerian brothers and sisters here? So we're in this hall, which can take about 7,000, 8,000 people. Now, I'm better with one-on-one in a group like that. I do not like standing up for long queues and jostled in a big crowd and all that. So at break time during the conference, you know, when there's 7,000 people looking for one cup of coffee, I'm like, yeah, no, I'll go without. So I just stayed in the auditorium, and I just hung around there, and then Bridget walked out, and she was on her way back. And this guy came up to me, and how do I know he was Nigerian? He had a Nigerian traditional garb on. He came up to me, and he walked in, and you understand, I grew up in a very devised country with a rule called apartheid, and we were separated, and whether you like to admit it or not, you have prejudices. So this African gentleman came up to me. I'm also African, by the way, seeing I was born on the continent. And came up to me, and he put his arm around me, and he hugged me, and he said, I want to let you know that I love you. And I was like, oh, okay, I love you too. And he turned and walked away. Now, you have to know that this is a big hall. I turned to Bridget. I said, did you just see what happened? I turned, and he was gone. I'm convinced today there was an angel of the Lord appeared to me at that time, because a week later, Louise was accosted in a bank robbery, and they tried to set her alight, pouring gasoline over her and all that. And I could have allowed those prejudices to come back up again, but I was delivered of that, and that's why I wept for a week, and that's why God sent this angel to warn me and prepare me for this moment in time. So what I'm saying, I'll tell you this whole story, just that do not discount what Holy Spirit can do in your life and how he can change you and how he can anoint you. John 3:8. Remember, you can't make it, you can't stop it. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. And the wind here is the wind and the spirit. They're interchangeable. New Testament, the wind here would be translated in the Greek, would be pneuma. In the Old Testament, translated as Ruach, the breath of God, Holy Spirit, Pneuma. And what it says here, the Spirit is like the wind. No man can control it. So when we pray, well, I'm going to pray it up and we're going to make it happen. And I think sometimes that's why as Christians we get disappointed. Because we've ignored God for like 10 days. And now all of a sudden we need him, and now we are, and we just like, well, he's just going to be my bellhop boy. He's just going to hop to what I need and what I want and how I feel. No, we need to build a relationship. That's why we don't have a religion. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The pneuma wind spirit. Michael Eaton puts it this way. The best way I've been able to describe the anointing, therefore, is that it is when our gift functions easily. It comes with ease. It seems natural. No working it up is needed. It is either there or it isn't. If we have to work it up, we have probably gone outside of our anointing. If we go outside of our anointing, the result is often fatigue, weariness, or spiritual lethargy or lethargy. And so we have to learn to stay within our boundaries of what we've been given. The second thing we want to look at is the mission motivation. What is the mission motivation? So let's start with where it all starts. Acts 1:5. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. John the Baptist was a voice, as we know, in the wilderness crying, making the way for the Savior to come, for Jesus to come into the ministry, to fulfill his ministry. And he was saying, I'm going to baptize you with water, but there's one coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And as I've drawn you to mine, that's why we call it John's disciples and then Jesus' disciples. And John does an interesting thing, which we've messed up, and I'm going to hopefully rectify that today. And then we get to Acts 1:8. It says, but you will receive power, dunamis. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And that is a tool that we've been given that we often don't use because we forget. Because we are mere mortals. And what we have to learn, I have the dunamis power of Holy Spirit living in me. In this sanctuary, living in and abiding and strengthening and guiding me and leading me into all truth. Oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to make this. How about like start it this way? Lord, Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus, what should I do? Lead me and give me wisdom in this area. Now, the problem is that we just go ahead and do stuff and then we go, oh, this is a mess. I don't know what to do. Oh, yes, let's call on Jesus. Oh, we got to, that's where we start. Lord, you've anointed me to do this. So I love what these people do up here. And you sitting there should be going, wow, they're anointed, and they are. But you know why? Because they've spent years and years and years practicing, years and time in the Word, learning to write songs, learning to how do we put this, how do we lead the congregation. And they get here 8 o'clock, 8:30, what the, 8:30 on a Sunday morning when some of you are still wrapped up in the arms of Father Morpheus, still fast asleep. They're here practicing. They're tuning their instruments. They're warming up their vocals. They're calling on Holy Spirit to come. So that when we were walking here and they go, drung, we go, ah! And we think, wow, they're anointed. Yeah, they are anointed because they can spend time with God. You think this set of songs that just comes up just happens by osmosis? No, let me tell you, each of the one who lead those teams spend time in prayer and thought about what songs we're going to sing. Well, let's just put something together. No, they spend time. They prayed it through. They thought about it. I'm just giving you a little bit of background of what happens is why they're anointed. And we are blessed to have serious musicians and singers and sound people. And we are blessed. All Christians are anointed. Now you said someone else is anointed. Say, I'm anointed. Come on. With conviction, with power, with understanding, with yeah. 1 John 2:20. But, or how do we know it? Well, because the word says so. But you will receive power. No, sorry. But you have been anointed by the Holy One and you will have knowledge. You mean that's me? We speak. Yes, that's you. You're speaking of that. But you have been anointed by the Holy One. You have been anointed. Here John is referring to a common anointing belonging to all believers. I hope you're becoming convinced. This makes sure that there is discernment that is available. Now, I know some people are gifted more with the gift of discernment. Others, other gifts. But it makes us all work together. You know, the whole jigsaw puzzle picture. When the New Testament speaks of anointing, it speaks of the common property of all believers. This is true even though all believers might not be walking in it. Well, he's more anointed. No, he's not. Well, she is not more anointed. She just happens to walk in her anointing. Because my anointing is different to yours. But I'm just doing my best to make sure that I'm walking in that, in the glory of that. And there's a difference between anointing and glory. We might touch on that just now. It does nowhere in the New Testament does it ever speak about a special anointing for certain people. It's anointing. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is not only the anointing one, He is the anointing. So when we think of being rubbed with the oil, think of I'm rubbed with the oil of Holy Spirit. I'm front side and back side and upside and downside. I'm together, Holy Spirit, walking together. Some Christians today think it's the magical super, like a virus thing. If I'm anointed, if I touch you, you're going to get the anointing. No, I don't see that. What I do see is that He's given us all. You know, Michael preached a little while ago and he said, we have all received the same grace. Now, there are different grace gifts given to other people. There are different anointings for those grace gifts. But it doesn't mean that you're more important or less important. It means we all have it. We all have the anointing. And you will know all things, it goes on and says. Because of the anointing the Holy Spirit has given us, we possess a resource of knowing truth. In verse 20, John uses a different word for to know. He is talking about, mostly he used, previously uses a word which means knowledge by experience. But this know, this anointing from the Holy Spirit, is knowledge by intuition. It is intuitive. I know when Bridget and I first came to Christ as a couple, and we'd get together, and we would be doing stuff, and we'd thing, and people would say, oh, you're so wise. And then we'd go home and go, I'm not trying to blow our own time. I'm trying to help you see a point. And then we would go, well, who taught us that? Who showed us that? And then we'd go in our Rolodex of all our mentors, all our teachers, all our pastors. Not that there were many, but I'd go, well, no one did. Well, then we'd go, and how did we know that? This, intuitive. Because the Holy Spirit speaks. If we are listening, if we are open to it, He will speak to us. And how do we know that? Because John 14, 26, but the help of the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all that I have said you. It is an intuitive knowledge. It's not a, and now some people, no, I don't need anybody to teach me anything because the Holy Spirit's going to teach. Yeah, no, you lost the point. You've missed the point completely. You're arrogant and you think you're, and you are unteachable. Did I say that plainly? But that's the truth. We just got to learn to know what is intuitive. And okay, so what can I learn from this? Our daily and pastoring this congregation is what can we learn from you? What are you going to teach us? Because I don't know it all. Verse 27, but the anointing that you received from Him abides in you. That's why I'm so firm believing that the anointing abides in me. It stays within me. Here's the Holy Spirit. Why do you think, Psalm 51, David goes and he hears that his son's about to die and he prostrates him forward. He says, do not take your spirit from me, Lord. Don't take your spirit from me. And we should live in a place where we know the Holy Spirit's not going to depart from us unless we blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. And we stay fixed on Him. When Jesus gets to Nazareth and he goes into the synagogue and he grabs the scroll and he opens up the scroll and he reads from Isaiah 61. And it reads something like this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who have oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Amen. But you know, there's a piece that he leaves out. Because that was for Old Testament, it's not for New Testament. Judgment. And to bring judgment, go and read Isaiah 61. He leaves it out completely. Not because Jesus forgot, because he wanted to tell us something else. He describes, in this verse here, he's describing his mission in the world. And by that same declaration, he's declaring the mission of the church that he will build. Because he says, I will build my church. Not everybody else building their church. Mission was not made for church, but church for the mission. Christ ambassadors to a dying world. That's who we are. That's what we are. The redeemed people, if you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a redeemed people, and you and me and we are meant to be a channel of Christ to the world, to bring life to a dying world, and reconciliation and reconciling back to the Father. God's people to the nations might come and understand the experience that God is a deliverer. And then he goes on in Luke 4:21, and he began to say to them, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. I love it. So here the author Luke writing about what happened with Jesus and what's talking. He says, here what was foretold, think about this, by the prophet Isaiah 750 years ago is taking place today, and it's just been fulfilled in your being. And so what do we see? That the anointing is for all sorts of services, Old Testament, New Testament. Jesus was anointed for his ministry, and we now helps us to see that we need the anointing. I was telling some people the other day, a friend of mine years back in South Africa was a 30-degree Freemason, and he was watching one of these horror movies because he loved horror movies, and out of the horror movie comes this quote that he go, and this is by a demon, so he stops, whoa, and he's up and he rewinds it back again, and the quote that the demon makes in the movie is the same creed and promise that he makes for his 30th degree. So he goes, whoa, this is weird. Power of the Lord hits him, he falls on his knee and gives his life to Jesus. But now he was a big barrel of a man and strong. And so he was like, okay, I'm going to take and I'm going to do all the deliverance. And I'm going to get rid of all the demons. And he goes out and he's actually written some books and he's made DVDs of where he's been into witch covens. And he's videoed sacrifices and live sacrifices, not animals. And he's videoed these things and he's been called and chased for death and all that kind of stuff. So he's in his room. And the people are saying, you must come and do this deliverance, and I'm going to deliver it. And so he's like, yeah, I'm going to do this deliverance. He's in this room. And he's thinking how wonderful and how amazing he is. And the demon visited him in his room. And the next is the next thing. He's a big man. He's like 6'3" and like two of me. He's up on the ceiling, looking down on his bed and wondering, what am I doing up here? And all he could squeak out of his voice was the name of Jesus. And the demon let him go and he fell to the floor and he just realized, this is not me. This is not my deliverance ministry. This is Jesus. This is his-ness. It's just his anointing to channel through me and flow through me. So he got a resurrection, if we could say, come to Jesus moment in this room. And he was here, okay, I understand, Lord. It's your anointing upon my life that enables me to do this. And when Jesus proclaims this, it's for us as well to understand that he's proclaiming the good news. We are to proclaim the good news to people, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Doesn't matter what, I know immediately we think bars, but there are so many more prisons around us, people in prison around us, in mental prisons and physical prisons and psychological prisons and oppressive prisons that need to be set free from. Recovery of sight, physical and spiritual blindness, because the people of the spirit, scripture says, do not understand or know the things of the spirit realm. And we have to be channels of light, not there, you must shine up. We've got to help be that channel to release the oppressed. Simply look around you, look at the news. Horrified in Mississauga on whatever, what do we do? Thursday, Friday. Two dudes went in and bomb the restaurant. Oh, well, it happens in Africa and it happens in Europe and it's not coming anywhere near us because we're just happy in Canada. No. To declare the year of the Lord's favor, people are unaware of the comforting message of the gospel of grace. Just be kind to someone. And then Isaiah 16:13 says it all, things will happen. They will. These people, if you read through, I don't have time to do the whole chapter, will become oaks of righteousness that he, God, may be glorified. That's what the anointing is for, is so that we can be channels, that when the glory comes, we step out of the way. We don't try and take it for ourselves. That's why when John the Baptist came and he was baptizing people, repent for your sins, the heaven of the kingdom is near, the kingdom is at hand, all the different versions was happening. But then when Jesus arrived, John says this, I must decrease that he might increase. And we think, well, we just got to become little and useless and so that Jesus can... You know, Jesus doesn't need us to become little and mindless so that he can be almighty and powerful. But what it says is when the glory comes, we step out the way. Because the glory is his alone, not ours. We're just there as channels for the anointing, to bring the anointing, and when it comes, step out the way and let God work. Don't think that you have to add another prayer, say another thing. Lead us into all truth. Just help us to discern, Lord, that we know what's going on. Amen? Good. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. We're on a mission. Go into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. God is not going to leave us with, well, I'm all out here, and I don't know about my anointing, and I don't know what I'm doing. You don't have to know. You just got to do. That's why it's called faith. Lord, I need to do what? Some years ago, yeah, we were worshiping. I felt the Lord say to me, tell everybody, now this is counterintuitive to what we're talking about, tell everyone to take their shoes off because today is holy ground. I'm going, oh Lord, it just sounds so lame. So he tells me again. I'm going, still lame, Lord. And then I go, if I see someone take their shoes off, then I'll know that it's really you, God. I turned to my left and there was a young man standing over there. Immediately, I looked at him, took his shoes off. I was like, okay, now I really feel lame. Sorry, Lord. Sorry for disobeying. I'll do this. So I get up and I say, guys, I feel that the Lord is saying this to us. People took their shoes off and the spiritual temperature in here rose like 20 degrees. How that works, I don't know. Why it works, I'm just happy it does. Because you know how stupid I would have been standing around people going, that guy should change his socks. In the glory of God. Step out the way. Just be obedient. Follow what he's doing. 2 Corinthians 1:20. And it is God who establishes It is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us. He has anointed us. We don't have to do something for it special. And who also put his seal on us and gave us his spirit in our heart as a guarantee. I'm guaranteed that I'm anointed because Holy Spirit lives in me. If you believe that with all your heart, you are anointed to be armed and dangerous to the enemy out there and to go and do what you have to do. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. If Jesus needed to be anointed by the Father, you think we're any less? We need the anointing to function. And then he went and he began his ministry and started it and went out. He had reliance on the Father. I only do what the Father tells me to do. Our version of this, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. What makes me feel good. No, telling people to stand up and take their shoes off did not make me feel good. Well, that's just a silly thing, Mark. Yeah, to me it was hugely silly and could be seriously foolish. But in obedience to his anointing, his word in my mouth, he functioned. Jesus needed the anointing on his humanity as we do. Let's close this today. Anointed, armed, and dangerous. And I've just got a list of stuff which we're going to go through just to help us to understand what I'm talking about this morning. Well, am I just anointed for this or for that? No, let's have a look and see what the Bible says, because that's always the best one to do. Number one, you're anointed to discern truth. What, me? Yes, you. Couldn't be. Then who? Number one. I have John, 1 John 2:27, but the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it taught you, abide in him. Stay close. Abide. Stay close to him. Not like, hey, check your Sunday. You know, we walk out of here at 12 o'clock today and we go, check your Sunday, Jesus. No. I'll see you in the next 10 minutes. I'll see you in the next 20 minutes. I'll see you today, tomorrow, Monday, through the week. Lord, I'm going to abide in you. I'm going to walk in you. I'm going to soak up your word. I'm going to soak up the worship. I'm going to soak up in prayer. Second thing, you're anointed to testify of the truth. Difference, 1 John 5:6. This is the one who came by water and blood of Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. You know, Kevin said this morning in the prayer meeting when we started the service, he says that the Father only gives us good gifts. He's not going to give you junk. He's not going to give you something that is not useful. We are anointed to pray. Well, I don't know how to pray. You do. Get out of the way yourself. Let him speak through you. Which says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, at 9:57, with all kinds of prayers and requests. You're anointed to pray. Oh, I don't know how to pray. Do you know how to have a conversation? Of course I do. Then you know how to pray. And I think I've mentioned this before. We had a guy in South Africa who used to pray. He used to intimidate the spit out of me. Oh, great Jehovah, the one who rides across the mountains, whose wings span the skies. What? I can't pray. He's so holy, I can't pray. I have to understand. That's the way he does it. I'm going, morning, Father. Hello, God. But we have to just learn to converse with God. Don't be disrespectful. I'm joking a little bit. But just converse with God. You know, you might not all like the man, but you should go and read Benny Hinn's book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. Help you. Holy Spirit, what should we do today? Conversation. Father, what have you got for me to do today? Lord, I'm walking down the shopping aisle. There's a person limping. Lord, what have you got for me to pray for them? Okay, Lord. Yeah. Anything else? No, pray for them. And then when they get healed, you're going to come bouncing down here and go, I want to tell you something that happened to me today. The other one is like, yeah, well, the Lord told me to do something and I didn't do it. We're anointed to pray. Where are we going? Anointed to live a righteous life. The imputed righteous. We've been over this a number of times. Romans 8:4. In all that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit who lives in us. Anointed to be strengthened with power in your inner being. I don't know how to do this. I feel so weak. Good. Ephesians 3:16. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Thank you for strengthening me in my inner being. Thank you for my spirit man that is alive, that I have the power, the strength in you, Jesus, to go about and do my work. Number six, anointed to live and to be led by the Spirit of God. Wow, he'll do that? Yes. Romans 8:9, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Does the Spirit of God live in you? Stop being so headstrong. Let him lead. Well, I like my idea better. is going to get you into trouble. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. 7. Anointed to live in joy. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in Holy Spirit. I think it was mentioned this morning too. 8. Anointed to live in hope. Do you feel hopeless from time to time? Do you feel this is just too much? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. My glass is not half full. It's not half empty. It's overflowing and full. And that's why we prayed that this morning. Lord God, let us come to you that we are overflowing, that we've eaten so much. I've never done it, probably because I'm a chicken, but I so much want to preach a sermon called Feed Me Daddy Burp. Because we are so full of the word. We get the, well, you should be. You hear every week at least. And then I know you listen to things on the radio and watch the TV and all that. But we're so full, but we never give it out. That's the point of taking it in, so we can give it out. That's why we're on mission. Be made on mission. All hands on deck. Anointed, armed, and dangerous. I don't know where I am. Where am I? 9. Anointed with spiritual gifts. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 12:4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. The one that lives in you. They're not different gifts, but different spirits. One Spirit, Holy Spirit. 12:7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for yourself, so you can feel good about yourself. No, for the common good. We come together like this so we can receive only? No, so that I can give out. Can you imagine if we all just did this one Sunday, came to church and driving along there, I thought, who can I bless today? Holy Spirit, who can I bless today? And Janine is making a call for us. Write down some words. Holy Spirit, who can I give a word of encouragement? Who can I draw a picture for? Who can I don't know, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Well, that's just a cute idea. No, it's not a cute idea. The God moment idea. You want to be partakers of it? You want to receive a blessing? Give out the blessing. You want to reap a good crop? Plant some good seed. Oh, where did I get? Anointed, spiritual gift. Last one, 10. Anointed to bear spiritual fruit. Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we stop there. Against such thing, there is no law. And this is not, I'll just pick one or two of them that I like. This is a like a bunch of grapes. It's a cluster of gifts that come at the same time. It's the anointing that opens our minds and teaches us and guides us. Yes, can you come up there? Calls you to pray and empowers you, enables you to be stronger in Christ Jesus. Picture yourself that you've got this tool belt on. And you're going, man, these are dusty tools. I haven't used them for a while. I'm going to take them out. And I'm going to start using these tools. Let the anointing flow upon me, Lord, that I might be a blessing to others. How then is this anointing received? I know you're going to go, oh, you said that again. Through the transactions of the cross, through the person of Jesus Christ, and through the gift of righteousness. That's how they come. Receive the Holy Spirit is received by faith that Jesus died on the cross for us to save us from our sins, that we are cleansed and pure, that his Holy Spirit can come and dwell in us. Darkness cannot abide with light. Light cannot, and darkness cannot abide together. We are children of light. And I know sometimes our soul needs to be repaired in some areas, but that's not our spirit. Your spirit is made alive. You are all anointed vessels of God. You have been cleansed by God. You've been filled with Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit came upon them in the upper room and anointed them for service, the same thing happened to you at salvation. And then we have the blessedness of the infilling, the continual infilling of the Holy Spirit. is the filling of the Holy Spirit and then the continual infilling of the Holy Spirit. We have been empowered, filled up, and if I could put it this way, we have been set up for ministry. We've been called because we are made for mission. You have been called because you are made for mission. You are. No doubt about it. Not if, and, or but. You are anointed, armed, and dangerous.